Well, happy Mother's Day to all of you. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here. We're just honored that you chose to spend Mother's Day with us today, and we celebrate you. You know, moms come in all different variations, and so today we want to take some time to celebrate. You know, if you're a biological mom or a foster mom or an adoptive mom or a stepmom, and even our pet moms out there. Any pet moms? Yeah. And so we celebrate you and we're thankful for you, just like that video said. But we also know that while we celebrate mothers and we're so thankful, that today may be hard for you. Maybe you lost your mother and you miss your mother today and you're going through that. And so we understand that that's going on as well. We also understand that maybe you desire to be a mother, and it's for one reason or another, it hasn't happened for you. And so right now, I just want to take a minute to pray with you and pray over you. So would you join me in prayer? God, right now, we come just thanking you. Thanking you for your creation and your design and your uniqueness and giftedness of our mothers, of every mother. Who you call them to be, and the compassion and the love and the attentiveness that they give, that they show, the selflessness and the sacrifice that they provide. It's a thing to behold. So we thank you for that. Right now, we lift up those who are missing their mothers today. God, remind them that you are with them. Bring peace and calm and joy. Remind them of all the times they got to have with their mother. And God, for those who desire to be a mother, continue to have them draw close to you in your plan for them. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, yeah, happy Mother's Day. Hey, today we are continuing our series, Under Its Control. And it just so happens that today's topic is right on point. Are there any mothers out there that would say that you struggle with worry? Any mothers at all? Show of hands, worry. shocking. And that's what we're talking about today, being under worry's control. Anyone else that struggle with worry here today? If you're not a mother, anyone? Come on. You can raise your hand. It's okay to raise your hand in church. I'm not going to call you up here and be like, tell me all your worries. Yeah, we all struggle with worries, and we can easily be ensnared by them. And as we're ensnared by them, they can take over, they can take control, and that's not what we want. So today we're going to kind of talk about getting out from underneath controls, the worry of control and all of that. And so I tend to not let things get to me too much. Like I often don't worry, I often don't get anxious, and it's almost to a fault. Like, you know, there'll be something serious going on and people are telling me and I'm just like, yeah, that's, you know, we're going to figure it out. And it, like, almost like they get mad at me that I'm not coming to the level that they need me to get to with them, you know? I'm just calm, I'm cool and collected, and like, we can work through this, we can figure this out. And it's bad because it's like, it'd be like, the house is on fire, Dad. And I'd be like, you know what? It's cool. We're going to figure this out. Get a bucket, throw some water on it. Who knows, you know? Okay, maybe that's a little too far. Or maybe one of my kids comes and is like, Dad, I think I broke my finger. And I'm like, okay, well, just don't use that finger, okay? And we'll look at it in a few days to see what, you know, what's going on with it. And I say that jokingly, but I've done that a couple times to a couple different kids. And so I just, you know, when things happen, I kind of just, I don't know, I'm kind of just calm, and I don't like kind of elevate and meet whatever, you know, is going on. I try to approach it in that manner. And so I try not to let things get to me. And if they do, I move past them. I kind of just got to a place where I was like, you know what? I just really don't have time to worry about this. I don't have time to stress about this. Like, I'm going to deal with it, but I'm not going to get it to a place where it takes me into worry. Like, there's too much kingdom work and I have way too many kids. You know what I'm saying? And so I don't let it get to me. But I'm also reminded, and you know, just through the years, I go to Scripture and I go to what Scripture says and calls me to. And in Luke chapter 12, it says this, verse 25. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? And this is, I mean, it's such a powerful reminder, because the reality is, the more we worry, the less moments we miss. Moments with Jesus, moments with our kids, moments with our spouse, moments with a friend, whatever it may be. As we give worry control, we miss out on what God's trying to do in and through that moment. Now, I still worry. And it's not like I don't worry. Like, there have been moments, there have been times where it's overtaken me. I was, you know, thinking back just through the years, a really big one was, and I got my really like first awesome job where I was in computer repair and just getting a lot of experience as I was going through school. And I loved it. I got to work on computers and go and, you know, just do, you know, networking, all that stuff. And I love that stuff. And I worked there for, you know, a couple of years, and me and my wife were, you know, getting married, and we got a home and got a baby on the way. And so I'm doing this job. And then one day I show up, and I guess business wasn't going well, and they had to let me go. And so I remember leaving that day. Like, I was just like, okay. And I left, and I remember, like, I couldn't drive anymore. Like, I had to pull off into a parking lot and just kind of be like, okay, what am I going to do? And, like, worry sets in. How am I going to pay for the house we just bought? How am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to take care of this kid? You know, all those worries kind of, they just set in, and the what ifs, and it's overwhelming, right? And it did in that moment. It paralyzed me. Like, I don't even know how to tell my wife I just lost my job. And so it was a moment of worry. I've been sharing a lot about, you know, stepping into starting Kairos Church and the fear and the doubt and all those things that came with it of becoming a lead pastor. But, you know, there was worry as well, because, you know, we were starting something new, and we had financial backing from our denomination, and we had funds, but that ran out or was taken. And I look at it and I go, if this is happening, like, kind of that same worry came over me, like, how am I going to provide for my family that is much, much larger now, right? And it's worry can paralyze you. Now, I'm, you know, thankful that in both scenarios, God did provide, and He had a plan. When I got let go from my my first job, God had already worked on me getting another job, and I had a new job in about 3 weeks. And it was a better job, and it was a closer job, and it was more pay, and it was insurance and benefits. And I, you know, I had no idea, but it took place, and I was like so thankful. And the same is true that God provided with Kairos. But I was worrying about it. And do you know how much my worry helped in the provision? None. It didn't help at all. And that's, worry wants to steal our time. It wants to steal our focus. Worry wants to, its desire is to control our thoughts, our emotions, and our actions. Worry wants us to focus on all the negative, on all the bad, on all the what ifs. Now, one of the other things that I've come to recognize about myself and why I'm so stress-free and worry-free is because I've allowed that to steal my hair, okay? So instead of like it coming out through emotions and reactions, it's kind of just expelled itself through hair follicles, either them falling out or turning gray. Now, if I had any, it would mostly be gray now, okay? So if I was to grow this out, it'd be a lot of gray, but it's done it to my beard as well. And so here's what I've come to the fact that all my stress is releasing itself by turning gray or falling out. And the moment that I'm out of hair or it's all gray, I will be a stress-ridden, anxiety-ridden human being, okay? And it's quickly approaching. So pray for your pastor and pray for yourself when that takes place. Now, that's me, you know, and I joke a little bit. And I do have worry and I do have stress. Let's go to a story in the Bible and kind of see how this can, you know, be relevant to our lives. And there's a story in Luke chapter 10. We're going to be in verses 38 through 42. And it's probably a story you're familiar with. It's the story of Martha and Mary. And so I want to read this to you. And this lady in the story, Martha, we come to find out that she's focused and she's worried and she's stressed and she's overwhelmed about all the wrong things. Here we go, verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." So right there in verse 41, you see it. Martha You're worried and you're distracted and you're upset over all these things. You don't need to be concerned about these things and all these details. And you have all these expectations that you're putting on yourself, that you think I'm putting on you, that you're putting on Mary. And that's the thing. Often our expectations or our failed expectations produce worry. And so right here, Martha put all these expectations on herself, on what she has to do and how she has to provide and what she has to prepare. Then she also, I believe, you know, Jesus is there. She has these assumed expectations that Jesus has of her. So she's trying to meet the expectations of Jesus that he doesn't really have. And then, of course, we know she expected something from someone else. All of it led to worry. All of it led to stress. All of it led to her being distracted and really not being in the moment. Martha thought she needed to prepare. Martha thought that she needed to perform. Martha thought that she needed to be perfect. And Jesus didn't expect that from her. He doesn't expect that from any of us. He says, Mary's figured it out. I'm here. Be with me. She thought she needed to be busy. She thought she needed to look busy or act busy or sound busy. And somehow, if all this busyness and all this worry and all this doing would equate to, you know, accomplishment. You know, most of us, when someone asks us how we're doing, you know how we usually answer? Oh, busy. I'm just so busy. And we begin to tell them all the things that we're busy with. And it's almost like we wear busyness as a badge of honor. Look at how productive I am. Look at how purposeful I am. Look at all the things that I'm doing. But the reality is, being busy doesn't necessarily mean being productive. Being busy doesn't necessarily mean you're purposeful. Being busy doesn't mean that it's going to lead to godliness. But we love to feel needed, don't we? We love to stay busy and feel like we're, you know, contributing and doing all these things. And somewhere we think, you know, if I don't do these things, they won't happen. We think that if I don't stay busy, if I'm not focused on all these things, if I'm not worried about all these things, it's all going to fall apart. The kids would fall apart. The house would fall apart. My workplace would fall apart. My finances would fall apart. My group of friends, if they didn't have me, they would fall apart, right? If you're on a sports team, if I wasn't there on this team, they're losers. I mean, losing. Sorry. you know, in my life, I've left jobs. I've turned down opportunities. I've walked away from projects. And do you want to know what happened to all of those things? They're doing just fine without me. But somewhere in the midst of that, we convince ourselves that these things are so reliant on us. And if we stopped, if we weren't worrying, that they couldn't continue moving forward without us. Now there's pride, and we haven't talked about that yet, but that comes into play. But we have all this stuff and we throw it all out there. And we miss out on so many amazing moments that we could experience if we didn't think all of that, if we didn't worry about all of that. And that's what Martha was doing. She's busy worrying, and in the midst of her busy worrying, she's missing moments with Jesus. Meanwhile, you have Mary, who is busy just experiencing Jesus. She is there. She is at his feet. She is taking it all in. See, our busy worrying keeps us from experiencing great moments with Jesus. And here's a simple, less Jesus moments leads to more worry. More Jesus moments leads to less worry. And we see it right here in the midst of this story where Martha is worrying and not experiencing Jesus, and Mary is not worrying, and she's experiencing Jesus in an amazing way. But it's not just about moments with Jesus. It's also about those moments that Jesus has for us that he doesn't want us to miss. It is those moments that you could be having with your kids if you weren't worried about all the other things. It is those moments that you could be having with your spouse if you weren't worried about that project at work. It's that moment where you could be there for a friend to encourage them and support them and to listen to them if you weren't worried about all the other things that you had to do that you didn't have time for them. It's that moment with a coworker, a neighbor, or even a stranger where you get to share the gospel with them. through word or even through your actions, just by being available. You see, these moments, Jesus doesn't want us to miss them. And you see, worry will keep us from them. It'll keep us from experiencing those moments that God has for us. You know, one of the great tricks of the enemy is getting us to think that we need something when we actually don't, or telling us we need to do something when we actually don't need to do it. I mean, this, you go all the way back to Adam and Eve, right? Adam and Eve, they're there in the garden, and they were fine. They were thriving without eating from the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, right? Like, everything's going great. They're in the greatest place on earth. This is the Garden of Eden. God is walking and living and moving among them. They didn't have a need in the world. They were thriving. And what does the enemy do? He comes in and he says, hey, you see that tree? You see the fruit on that tree? You need that. You need to focus on that. You need to get that. And when you do, everything will be so much better. But everything was already the best it could be. And the enemy comes in and he lies to them. And what did it do? It made matters worse for them. Where they were thriving and doing wonderfully, they took their focus off of the plan that God had and began to listen to the lies of the enemy. And they found that their life began to unravel. The enemy does the same thing to us all the time. He says, you need to be worrying constantly about your kid's safety. You need to be worrying constantly about your kid's future. You need to be in control of that. You need to doubt your spouse's faithfulness. Even when there's nothing there to warrant doubting it, you need to doubt it. You need to question it. You need to be jealous. You need to be envious. You need to be protective, and you need to do that. You need to not trust your coworkers. You need to not trust your manager. They don't have what's best for you. Don't trust them. You need to fear not being able to provide financially for your family, paying the bills. You need to stay busy. If you want to obtain anything, if you want to amount to anything in this life, you got to stay busy. You got to stay working. You got to stay to the grind. Or you need to be in a relationship if you want to have an identity. It's all these lies, constant lies that the enemy tells us. You need this, you need this, you need this, you need this. And it's all coming from him. When we go to scripture, God says, all you need to do is be with me. Focus on me. I will provide everything that you need. Don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you you need all these other things. And all it does is lead to worries. And you see, the moment you take a bite out of that, out of fear, out of doubt, out of worry, that's when it begins to affect your heart and your mind. It begins to affect your thinking and your acting and your reacting. And your heart and your mind will begin to turn to the things of the world instead of the ways of God. And there's this phrase that I love in the Bible, that as I've gone through difficult things, as I've, you know, come up against fear and doubt and worry and all the things we've been talking about, I'm reminded of two simple words that Jesus says. And it's simply this: take heart. Take heart. I want to share it with you. John 16:33. Jesus says, I've told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. All the things you're worried about, all the things you fear, all the doubt, I've overcome that. I have power over that. Take heart. Take me into your heart. You know, right before this, Jesus was telling them, hey, like, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to be, you know, put on the cross, and then I'm going to ascend into heaven. Then, you know, coming in the future, you're going to be scattered. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated. But what's he say to them in those moments? He says, don't worry about any of that. Take heart, because I have overcome this world. And in it, he says, I've overcome the worries that the world brings. Here's the thing about worry and fear and doubt, and really all the things that we've been talking about in this series. Being under the control of fear, of doubt, and worry, you want to know what that leads to? Difficult moments, difficult outcomes. We think that by going after fear and going after doubt and like kind of focusing on those things, that it's going to somehow help us, but it ends up making things more difficult. But when we put those things and put our lives under the control of Jesus, guess what that brings? It brings peace, peaceful moments, peaceful outcomes. where Jesus is leading and Jesus is guiding and Jesus is saying, hey, I've overcome what you're going through. Give it to me and let me walk with you through it. Now, this, as I think about our heart and taking heart and focusing our heart on Jesus and that bringing peace, I'm brought back to our logo for Kairos Church. Now, if you've been here, you've seen it, you know it, you may be wearing it. If you're new, you probably saw it too. We have it's the two arrows and there's a circle. And it's one of those things that's like, what, you know, is there purpose behind that? Is it just something that looks cool on social media and on merch? Yes, it does. But there is purpose behind it. And it's one of those things that I absolutely love it because it's such a good reminder for us about what I'm talking about right now. So here, I'm gonna illustrate this on the board. So I'm gonna put up top, let's get Jesus up there. And then right down here, I'm gonna put God, because, well, Jesus is God. And so as I'm talking about Jesus, I'm also talking about God. And so we have the two arrows. One of the arrows represents our heart. And we wanna make sure that our heart is focused on him, pointed to him in all things. And then the other one is our mind. And the same thing, if our heart and our mind are focused on Jesus, what the word promises, what Jesus promises, what he says to us is if you focus your heart and your mind on me, I'm going to give you this peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm going to give you this peace in your life that will guard you and protect you from the worry and the fear and the doubt that this world wants to throw at you. Now, this comes from Philippians 4:7, and it simply says that his peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live for him, as you focus on him. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter how hard it is, we don't take our focus off of him because we want to keep this peace that he provides for us in those situations. And it's such a powerful reminder to stay focused on him. Now, the heart is the key to all of this. You see, when we have Jesus enter into our heart, a transformation begins. And we begin to become like him. And we begin to pursue him in his character and what he's done. And we try to act like him and be like him in our lives. And we try to, you know, focus on him so that as we go through these circumstances, we can pursue them in the right way. And so as we focus our heart on him, it begins to affect our mind and our thinking. And so we got to make sure that our heart is helping our mind and vice versa. And both of those are focused on him. And so it comes back to the heart. You know, a wise scholar once said that the heart is not so easily changed, but the head can be persuaded. That was Pabby, the troll king from Frozen. And it's so true. The heart is not so easily changed, but the head can be persuaded. And here's what I want you to understand is that the enemy will continually attack your mind and come at your mind to get you focused off of him. And as your mind turns, your heart will follow. And so it's so important that we understand that. Pastor Rick Warren says it like this. He says the battle for sin always starts in the mind. Now I was just reminded of Jesus. And he's talking and he's sharing and he says to the people, he says, even if you commit even if you look at a woman in a lustful way, if you've committed adultery, where? Right? Inside. It's not an outward thing. It's happening here. And so it's so true because the enemy's going to come after your heart. And so what we need to understand is that a Jesus-filled heart will help influence our thoughts. It'll help combat what the enemy is doing. And so as the mind wages war on us, the Jesus-filled heart is what is going to protect against it. Because here's what I know from Scripture, what I've learned in my life, that if Jesus is in our heart right here, the enemy is not coming after that. You want to know why? Because he's afraid of Jesus. He knows the power that Jesus, he knows that Jesus has already defeated sin and death. And so he's not coming after this, he's coming after this. And when he comes after your mind, and if he can get your mind to go in a different direction, right? His hope is that it'll start pulling your heart that way too. And so that's his tactic, that's what he wants to do. He goes after your mind to influence your heart. And if they both turn, if the heart follows and it gets off focus and it's going this way too and it's going with the mind, and when worry is put in control, guess what we lose? We lose this. We lose the peace the peace that God provides in our life. And then when the peace is gone, you want to know what happens? The full-on attack of our heart and our mind and the enemy and the world and our circumstances and all these things, because there's no peace there to guard it and to take care of it. When worry takes control, we lose peace. I mean, think about this in your life. So let me kind of just get specific. Husbands, fathers, men, you know, what are maybe some things we might worry about? I think the first one is, you know, work. I got to worry about work. I got to worry about providing. I got to worry about doing a good job so I don't get let go, right? So we have this worry, and it's maybe we're just so focused on that and work and provision. And then, you know, provision's another one. Like, I got to pay the bills. I got to, you know, pay for the house. I got to make sure my kids are fed. I got to make sure that I have gas. We have all this worry going. And then on top of that, you got worry about your relationship with your spouse. Am I caring for her? Am I providing for her? Am I supporting her? Am I being there for her? Do I have her back in all things? Like, so you have this worry, and it adds up. And then if you have kids, you have your kids, and you're worried about them, and you're worried about their discipline, and you're worried about parenting them, and you're worried about, you know, just in school, and you're worried about what they're going to do when they grow up, and you have all these worries, and they just start adding up. And we don't take them to him, it leads to problems. The same happens for mothers. You know, if you worry about house stuff, if you have a job, you worry about your job. If, you know, you got to worry about the kids, you got to worry about their health, you got to worry about their schooling, you got to worry about appointments, you got to worry about feeding them, you got to worry about cleaning them up. We'll add like 8 of those, right? There's so much worry about the messes that they're making, and there's this worry. Even for kids, as they're entering into being teenagers in high school and graduating high school and going into college, and you start worrying about certain things, and you worry about making good grades so you can pass. You know, in middle school and in high school, there's this worry about relationships, having a relationship, being with someone. Will I be able to create relationships, have relationships? Will I find the right one? And so there's this relationship. Where will I go get a job? Where will I go to college? And you have all these worries, and we all have them. And if we take these worries and we focus on them, like, you know, it's just like when I was riding the unicycle last week, right? And we, you know, Peter was walking on water, and he's focused on Jesus. And the moment that he begins to look to the left and right, what happens? It's the same. He lost the peace, he lost the guarding, he lost all of it. And it's the same when we do this. And now look, we talk about when we focus our heart and mind on Jesus, we get this peace. Now, if we try to get peace in all of this, right, here's what's going to take place. Let's say we tried to circle all of these things. Let me try to circle them. What do we got? Hold on. I'm going to get all of them. There's a lot here. What do we have? That's not peace. As a mess. And something tells me y'all are like, I understand that mess. I've been living in that mess. I've been focused on all these other things, and I haven't relinquished the control of those things in my life. And this is a bad place to live. Because, you know, the reality of it is as we allow worry to control us, do you know what? It compounds. It's like, okay, I'm worrying about this, and then that worry leads to another worry, and that worry leads to another worry. And when we don't take our worries and give them to Jesus, they just get worse. So we have to go to him. All these worries, you know what they lead to? More fear, more doubt, more stress, more anxiety, more mistrust. We don't get peace. We get just disarray. Confusion and chaos. We get a mess. And it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. So let's go back to Philippians now. Let's read both verses 6 and 7. Here we go. Verse 6. Guess what it says? Ready? Don't worry about anything. I mean, it can't be any more clear than that, right? Don't worry about anything. Okay. I'm going to take all my worries away. Here we go. I'm not going to worry. We'll get rid of all that. Get rid of that mess. Get rid of that heartache. Get rid of that stress. Get rid of that anxiety. Get rid of all the what ifs. Don't worry about anything. Okay, but it goes on. It's not just like, all right, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray. Pray about everything. And guess where our focus is when we're praying? You ready for it? The focus of our heart is on God. The focus of our mind is on God. So don't worry. Whatever you're dealing with, pray. take whatever it is and give it to God. Bring him into that situation. And then what will happen? Verse 7, you will experience God's peace. We get the peace back. And what's the peace do? His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live for Christ. And this is it. This is what we want. We want this peace. Because here's what happens when we have this peace. Man, if we continue to focus on him, the enemy, the world, circumstances, financial problems, fear, doubt, guess what's stopping them? Peace. Jesus is peace. And guess what this does? It takes it out of you trying to control it and you trying to manage it and you trying to carry the burden of it, and it puts it on him. And guess what he says? Take heart. I have overcome death and sin and all of it. And if he can do that, guess what? Your worry, your fear, he can overcome it in your life too. He says to Martha in verse 42, there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it's not going to be taken from her. She's focused in on me. And so you can choose on the daily to continue to worry like Martha and not have that peace and miss out on those moments with Jesus, with your loved ones, or you can choose to worship like Mary. Because that, at the end of the day, that's what Mary was doing. She was taking, I'm sure Mary had her own problems. She had stuff going on in her life. We all do. But she knew that being with Jesus was more important. And really, it wasn't just being with Jesus. She was taking all of the burden and the weight of the life that she was carrying. And she said, Jesus, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to lay it at your feet. And I'm going to listen to you. And I'm going to hear you. And I'm going to follow you and be obedient to what you're saying to me right now so that I can move forward in these things, not worried, not stressed out, not fearful or doubtful, but with peace. Because I've spent time with you. And that's what we need to do. Because when, like Martha, if we just choose to focus on all the other things and to have worry and doubt and fear about those things, what's going to happen is we miss out. Most importantly, we miss out on those moments with God, and those moments with Jesus. But we know it, we also miss out on the opportunities that he has for us in all of our relationships. So the question today becomes, what worldly worries are keeping you from Jesus and from peace? What are those things that you keep trying to manage or to overcome on your own? Man, today be reminded that he is the overcomer. And you got to give it to him. Stop worrying, stop stressing, stop the anxiety, stop all of it. And just say, I'm going to you. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Take heart. Whatever you're facing, take heart. Your past failures, take heart. No matter your current circumstances, take heart. No matter your fear, your doubt, your worry, take heart, because Jesus has overcome. And if he has overcome, he can empower you to do the same. And so we want to focus all of our heart and all of our mind on him so that we can live every single day with this peace that surpasses all understanding and that can guard from the attacks of the enemy and the worries that this world throws at us. I'm asking you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to ask the same question, but kind of ask it in the same way. I want the Spirit, if it hasn't already, to reveal to us the things that we haven't given yet over to God. So what worry is currently causing you to miss meaningful moments with Jesus? What has kept you up late at night? What has kept you so busy during the day that you didn't have time for someone you loved? Who are you trying to perform for? Who are you trying to be perfect for? Man, what expectations have you put on yourself? What expectations are you putting on others because of those expectations that you put on yourself? Is there somewhere along the way where you feel like Jesus has these certain expectations of you to be perfect? You don't. All that worry, all that stress, all that anxiety, it's not helping you. It's hurting you. And I think you know it. But it's how you've operated for far too long. If you want to take back control, you got to find out where your heart is pointing. You got to take your heart and you got to give it to Him. Because He has overcome, and He can overcome, and He can help you overcome. So where's your heart right now? Is it distracted? Is it in disarray? Is it overwhelmed? Is it hurting? Is there heartache? Jesus says, come and sit at my feet. Cast your cares. Cast your worry. Cast your burden on me. I don't need you carrying that around. I can carry that for you. And as He carries that for you, He can bring you peace. And this isn't just something that we make a decision and we do it once. We got to make this decision every day. Because there are difficult circumstances, hard conversations, losing a job, having financial stress. There's all of these things are a part of the world we live in. But the greatest thing we were ever given was Jesus. And He says, give it to me. I can overcome it. You just got to let go of it. So today, my prayer for you is that you would remember John 16:33. That you would take heart in your current circumstance. Take heart and give all of those things over to Jesus who has overcome. And do that again tomorrow. And the next day when you feel overwhelmed, when you don't feel adequate, when you feel let down, when you feel like someone's disappointed in you, take heart, give it to Him. He has overcome. Get His peace. Surround your heart and your mind with His peace. Let it guard you. Let it protect you. And stay focused on Him. Never losing sight of who He is, what He's done, and the moments that He has for you with Him and with others to bring Him glory. God, right now, I pray today for freedom from having worry be in control of our lives. Freedom from the disarray and the chaos that all our worries want to bring. How they desire to control us and lead us astray and tell us we need to do things or perform in a different way, God, that we would release that. Set them at your feet and sit in your glory and in your grace and in your love. Send us out today remembering that. Help us remember every day moving forward to focus our heart and our mind on you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.